borrow a Bible. We may have a couple extra in the back. Lift your hand or ushers will bring you one. Anybody? No? Okay. Thought I saw somebody looking around. I guess not. All right. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 4. Give you a moment to find that. Then we'll ask you to stand and stretch in honor for the reading of God's Word. I'm just going to read one verse here to get us started this morning. And Exodus chapter 20, verse 4. Once we get started, you'll understand what I'm doing with this verse. Exodus chapter 20, verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee. None of you fellows have Bibles? Let's start getting Bibles in their hands, Josue. It's great to come to church, but we're about the Word of God, amen? Let's get Bibles in the hands and look them up. Exodus, second book of the Bible, Exodus chapter 20. We're going to wait for these fellows because they need the Word of God, amen? That's what they need. They start bringing the Bible to church, too. And Exodus chapter 20 and verse 4, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 4. George is almost there. All right, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 4. All right, we won't wait any longer, George. Just catch up. Verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Let me read that verse to you one more time. Notice the first three words here. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the sky. And those first three words in the verse is what we're going to call our sermon this morning, thou shalt not. Let's pray, and then you may be seated. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we're thankful, Lord, for the honor of being, Lord God, in your house. It always is an honor, Father, to be able to take your word and be able to look at it, Father, the word that you've given to us that we do not deserve, Father, but you've given us your word. I pray now, Father, that you'd help me to be a help this morning in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. One of the common complaints you hear from Christian people or in Christianity is that people say they get tired of all the rules at church. And, you know, the ones like the preacher telling them all to get a Bible in their hand and open it up. Amen. Those kind of rules, you know. Just kidding. But they say they get tired of all the rules at church. That was a lot funnier than your response. So, and it's too late now. You often hear people say they don't like a preacher telling them what to do. Don't like them telling them how they ought to dress modestly or where they should go and where they shouldn't go and what kind of friends they should have and et cetera and all that kind of stuff. You know, so many times over the years, and not just me being pastor here, but in other churches and so forth, you hear people tell things about why they drop out of church and maybe they've dropped out of church, why they've dropped out, and it usually revolves something around some sort of a statement like that or some sort of a problem like that. And so it is a commonplace problem. So, well, the preacher's always telling us what to do. Wait a minute, though. Several times in Scripture, notice that first three words of the verse, and I just chose that verse this morning, but notice, thou shalt not. That's used in Scripture a lot. In fact, you know how many times? 240 times those three words are together. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. And it's used a lot in Scripture, folks. That's a phrase that God uses to show us what not to do. Amen. And if you're not careful, you'll allow this phrase to be the thing that drives you away from serving God. However, I think we're going to look at this phrase in a little bit different light than maybe what you've looked at it before this morning. Let me show you some perspectives about the phrase this morning, thou shalt not. Number one, this, thou shalt not reveals your heart. That's the way thou shalt not is. It reveals your heart. You can tell whether a person is rebellious by what they do when they are told not to do something. And I used to have a friend he actually pastors a church now, but he used to tell me that he was raised in a Catholic home, raised a Catholic, and he said that he'd go to church, and he said the priest there would tell him, he said, don't read the Bible. He said, it's only for us who understand it. He said, it's not for the lay people, so don't read the Bible. So he used to always say, he said, I was so rebellious. He said, anytime anybody told me not to do something, he said, I always did the opposite of that because I was a rebellious teenager. And so he said he did the opposite, so he started reading the Bible. Well, guess what? In the long run, he ended up getting saved from reading the Bible. Now, you don't hear that very often, but he said, I did it because that priest kept telling me not to read the Bible because he said it was just for them to understand. Well, guess what? He started reading the Bible. He found out the whole Catholic system wasn't even found in there, amen. The old nuns, the monks, all that business ain't found in the Bible one stitch, amen. It's all made up. That's why they got to have their own Bible to add that extra stuff in there, amen. But that's what he found out, amen. And said, so I don't like that. Well, when you pass those steps up there, it said one thing on the sign, Baptist, amen. That's what we are, is a Baptist church, amen. That means we're Baptist, not Catholic, amen. And if we thought that was the right way, guess what we'd be? We'd be a Catholic church, amen. But it ain't the right way because it ain't found in the book, amen. The truth of the matter is, he said he was rebellious. But folks, rebellion generally shows us what's in somebody's heart, amen. It shows and reveals the heart. You say, people will say, I'm not going to let anybody tell me what to do. That's what they'll say. I'm not going to let anybody tell me what to do. Not going to. I'm not going to. Don't want anybody to tell me. Some people, I think they think it's a badge of honor or something to be able to make a statement like that. It really impresses them, I think they think. Somebody say, well, if you tell people thou shalt not, if you tell them what to do and what not to do, you're going to run people off. That's what they say to preachers at churches. They say, you're going to run people off. We used to have a man who used to come here some years ago, and he told me one time, and he came to our church for a length of time, he says, preacher, he says, you sure are a good Bible teacher. He said, in fact, he says, you're one of the greatest Bible teachers I've ever heard. Well, folks, I'm no idiot. Whenever somebody makes a statement like that, there's going to usually be a follow-up statement to go with it, amen, that usually isn't something I'm probably going to want to hear, because they usually start out with a statement like that for a reason, amen. He went on to tell me that if I would just cut back a little bit on the preaching thing and do more Bible teaching, our church could really grow. And that's what he said. And I said, well, just tell me, what do you mean, my dear brother, by cutting back? He said, well, he said, this thing, all this hollering that you do all the time when you're preaching, and he said, if you would do less of that and more practical teaching, he said, it would really go a long ways. He told me that he was quite certain that people were offended by the hollering. Now, interesting how he came to that assessment. I said, well, you know, did somebody say something? Oh, no, I'm just assessing that myself. Well, no, that's not true. Somebody saying something to him. But I told him, I said, listen, I said, you know what preaching means? It means a hollering out. Amen. That's what it means. And I proceeded to tell him about 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Amen. Also 1 Corinthians 1:21, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believed. So apparently God doesn't think preaching's foolish. The world thinks preaching foolish. And when somebody makes statements like that, fella, I think they're categorizing themselves. They don't like preaching. Whoa. They're categorizing themselves as the lost world is what they're categorizing themselves. Because to them it's foolishness. But to God it's not foolishness. Amen. So whenever someone makes a statement like that, it means they usually have a problem. They have a problem. I truly believe it was not the volume of what was being said, but probably what was being said that was the problem. Amen. And but with all the hollering comes, guess what? A lot of thou shalt nots sometimes. If you're going to preach the Bible, amen, thou shalt not. And if somebody said, well, I don't like the thou shalt nots, and well, apparently God didn't get that memo that you sent out, amen, because 240 times he commands us to not do something in the Bible, amen. Rules don't run people off, folks. It only reveals the fact that their heart already ran off a long time ago. Amen. That's what it does. It simply reveals to authority the heart of an individual. Don't be afraid of the rules that God has set in place because they're there to reveal an individual's heart. That's what the rules are there for. Amen. Secondly, this morning, thou shalt not shows you what you can do. Amen. It shows you what you can do. If God is telling us what not to do, then guess what he is doing? He's revealing what we can do by doing that. Too many people look at that on the negative side of the statement. They ought to see that, hey, God's telling us what not to do, so that means the things opposite of that are things that we can do. Amen. It's not God keeping you from doing things. It's only showing you simply what you can do. God is simply giving us clarity by telling us what not to do. Amen. Once we know what not to do, then we will know what we can do. Amen. The Christian life doesn't have to be boring, folks. Doesn't have to be boring, amen. Once you modify your life according to the Bible, you'll find that there are ways to have fun outside of going to some worldly entertainment, amen. There's ways to have fun outside of going to some nightclub somewhere, amen. There's ways to have fun outside of those things, amen. We have Christmas parties, Valentine banquets, things like that all the time at our church. We always have a great time. But wait a minute, there's no alcohol there. Wait a minute, no cursing. Except by the deacons. Wait a minute, no drugs being used. Wait a minute, no pornography being shown. Huh. Yet somehow we always laugh and have fun. How is that? A bunch of the world's entertainments and a lot of other things I didn't mention aren't found there, but yet we have fun. You don't have to be dirty and filthy to have fun, folks. You can have fun without that, amen. Hey, number three. Thirdly, thou shalt not protect you from harm. Amen. As I said before, sadly, people look at the negative side of that command of thou shalt not, but they don't realize that God may be keeping them from some harm. God's keeping them from being harmed. Amen. God tells us not to do something because he knows if we do it, that will hurt us. Hey, when I was a kid, if my parents told me not to play with an electrical plug-in, they weren't doing it because they didn't want me to not have fun. They did it because they didn't want me to get hurt by sticking my finger in one of them things and getting a new hairdo, amen. That's what they were trying to do, is protect me from harm, amen. It's not because they were hateful. They were just hateful about everything else. But, I'm sorry. Better be careful. My mother's out here. God is not being hateful by telling you, Christian, not to do something. Instead, what he's truly doing is revealing his love towards you by probably keeping you from some sort of harm. Here's the thing. Think about this. Everything that involves sin in the long run always turns out what? Bad. So that means in some way, shape, or form, it's going to hurt you over the long haul. Even if it doesn't right away, and it depends sometimes what you're doing, but over the long haul, a continuation of that practice will hurt you. God's only trying to help you by protecting you and keeping you from harm, just like a parent does with a child and tries to keep them from harm. Let me give you a fourth thing here. Thou shalt not keeps God's blessings upon your life. If you obey the command, you will keep God's blessings rolling in your life. Listen, as a parent, it's always more fun and more, and it makes you want to do more for your kid when they obey you. When they're obedient to you. I mean, here's the thing. If you got a kid and you give them a list of chores and they won't ever do them, that doesn't mean you may never do anything for them, but you sure aren't feeling like doing stuff for them, are you? Do you feel like going out and buying them something special or doing something special for them or giving them a special treat of some kind? Not really, because they were what? They were disobedient. Now, does it mean you don't love them? No, you still love them. They're your kid. But you don't really feel like doing much for them as far as anything that would be an extra treat or any kind of a blessing for them. But when they're obedient and they do exactly what they're supposed to do, what do you want to do? You want to reward them for that because you appreciate it. That's the way God is, folks. When we're obedient to him, he wants to bless us more. When we're not, he doesn't want to bless us. He may still love us, and he's never going to lose his love for us, but he still doesn't want to do a lot of those extra things for us that we may like for him to do. I mean, after all, we bring our prayers to him. Well, who's he going to be more inclined to answer prayers for? Somebody who's obedient to the thou shalt nots that he gives in life, right? That's exactly right. So obedience is the key to the blessings of God. You discover the fountain of God's blessings by learning what not to do. Let me give you a fifth one here. Fifthly, thou shalt not sometimes can be just about keeping a hindrance out of your life. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 2:18, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Maybe sometimes we should thou shalt not something that is more about keeping yourself from being hindered in your Christian life than anything else. The Christian life is filled with hindrances that could be avoided if we would be diligent to avoid doing them, because they're going to be a hindrance to us in our spiritual walk. By the way, a hindrance isn't always sin. We were talking about direct thou shalt nots before, but now I'm talking about something a little bit different. Maybe it's not a direct thou shalt not, but maybe sometimes in our life we should make it a thou shalt not, because we'll be better off and not be hindered that way. But a hindrance isn't always sin. A hindrance can be something that's not wrong, but it may hinder you from doing what you are supposed to do. There are many things in the Christian life that are not wrong, but they may hinder you from being where God wants you to be at a spiritual level in your Christian life. Hindrances. Hindrances can be a real problem. Sometimes there's certain things maybe we just need to put a thou shalt not on. Let me give you a couple of them. The scriptures tell us about some of these things. We just read a verse, or I read a verse to you rather, about what hinders us, and that's first of all Satan. Satan can hinder you in your Christian life. Satan, he is a hindrance to us, and that's what the Bible just said in 1 Thessalonians 2:18. You may think there's nothing that you can do about this hindrance, but it starts, I think, by keeping yourself from those questionable places. There are questionable places out there. There are questionable things that we ought not to get involved with sometimes, and people always want to sit there and they want to try to measure everything out. And they listen, if it's borderline and you have to sit there and debate about it for an hour in your mind about whether you should be doing this or that or not, guess what? You probably shouldn't do. Probably shouldn't do it. Probably the best thing to do is just say, hey, that's going to be like a thou shalt not in my life, and I'm going to go ahead and make that a thou shalt not, and then I won't be hindered by Satan in any way, shape, or form here. Amen. I'm glad one person appreciates it. The rest of you are sleeping. It's a thou shalt not, amen, sometimes. It continues with making sure that we keep ourselves from being an appearance of evil. The Bible talks about that, amen, about not being an appearance of evil. That's important to remember that. So what is not specifically mentioned in Scripture? Hey, guess what? 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says what? Abstain from all appearance of, finish it, class, evil. Abstain from all appearance of evil, amen. Guess what? Gotta be careful about that. There's a lot of things that might look like it's evil even if you're not involved with it. If you even got yourself where you're looking like you're involved with it, hey, maybe you should be a thou shalt not and not go to that place or not be at the in that situation, whatever it may be. That can apply to a lot of different things. But I've also found this as far as keeping Satan from hindering you, this, and I'll give you this for free, amen, prayer. Prayer is a great thing to do for removing hindrances. Prayer. Pray, and you can help keep Satan from being able to hinder you, amen. Don't let an anemic prayer life hinder you from being the Christian you're supposed to be, amen. Many Christians are hindered because they simply do not take the time to pray. If you would pray, you could keep Satan from hindering you, and that's important to remember. Now, let's get back towards the line of thought we have here, but take your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. I want to go ahead and just show you this. Galatians 5, 7. Let me give you a second one underneath this. This point number 5 here. Galatians 5, 7 in your Bibles, fellas. Galatians 5, 7. We got those Bibles in your lap for a reason, amen? I'll look it up. Galatians 5, 7. It's in the New Testament to help you out a little bit, amen? And if you have any further questions, so we'll come around and open them all up for you. He's that quick. And just kidding. Galatians 5, 7. The Bible says this. We'll give you another moment to find it here. Galatians 5, 7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Amen. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? So secondly, underneath that number 5, in Galatians 5, 7 shows us this, amen, people can be a hindrance. People can be a hindrance to you. People can be a hindrance. Sometimes there's just some people you ought to put in your mindset of thou shalt not. There are people, maybe they're not even bad people necessarily, but they're bad for you. They're bad for your Christian life, amen. Maybe they're a hindrance to your Christian life. Maybe you should just say, hey, thou shalt not Thou shalt not. You got to be careful about the people you choose to be your friends. You got to be careful about that. You got to be careful about that. And it's important to remember that, hey, even if they're not bad people, sometimes you shouldn't be hanging around them, maybe. Thou shalt not. You know, I know of people that are pastors that I'll see them somewhere, and over time I've discovered that, hey, when you get involved with a conversation with them, somehow it always turns into something negative towards somebody else. And so I've just simply decided, hey, when I see them coming, I'll be friendly, I'll smile, I'll shake their hand, but guess what I don't do? I don't stand there and talk to them. So, well, I got to get going over here. Why? Because in my mind I put a thou shalt not, so I'm not going to sit there and stand around with that person and talk to them because it's bad. Because it's a hindrance to me in my Christian life, because my Christian life isn't supposed to be around, involved standing around with some other pastor talking about some other pastor. That's not the way to be, but there's some pastors like that. No, they're bad people. No, they're not bad people. But I find that they're bad for me, so I don't want to be around them. So I put a thou shalt not in my mind. I'm not gonna associate with them any more than I have to. I don't try to be unfriendly to people. I don't try to be that way. And I'm not telling you to be that way. You may know people that are friends or associates, or even sometimes could be your relatives of some kind. But maybe you should just decide not to hang around them much. You can still be friendly. But maybe they've been bad for you. Maybe they've been a hindrance to you in your Christian life. Put a thou shalt not in your mind and say, hey, listen, I'm not going to have a lot of association with them. I'm going to kind of keep a distance with them. I'll be friendly at a distance, but I'm going to keep a little distance because I don't want to be hindered in my Christian life. So you put a thou shalt not on that in your mind, and that can be a help to you in your Christian life. Amen. And just put a thou shalt not in your mind about hanging around with them. Now, let me encourage you not to look at the commandments of God in a negative light. Don't let the devil snooker you into feeling like the rules that God has put in place, that God has set, are too difficult for you. They're not. God wouldn't have put them there if you couldn't do them. God put them there so you could do them. Amen. And God had in mind that it would be something that you could do. He didn't put them there to be grievous to you. Amen. He put them there to be a help to you. You need to look at the rules as a positive manner and see that God's trying to give you his blessings. Amen. If you just simply will follow his program, look at it in the right light, and you will be able to serve God the best that you can when you do that. All right. Let's stand to our feet.